Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Odds for Rookie of the Year award. They're hot off the press, though. One of the Broncos draft picks does make the cut of top tier guys. But will Patrick Surtain see the field enough to even qualify for this thing? Now, according to the good folks at Superbook, Micah Parsons is the odds-on favorite to win the Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. You're going to see this more on Hard Knocks when you go back and watch. But Micah Parsons is just seems like a quick study. In the Hall of Fame game, he was absolutely flying around. In Cowboys practice, he is picking off the quarterbacks. Now, when you got guys like Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush or your quarter, Ben DiNucci.
Good old Ben.
You know, the Nooch.
Yeah.
The Nooch.
Man, they had some epic, like, epic bad performances last year from some of those guys. Like,
yes.
Like, awful, awful.
But those bad performances led to losses, and it led the Cowboys to draft Micah Parsons.
Yes.
He is a 4-1
okay
favorite.
4-1 favorite. I mean, that's the question. You know, how much will Pat Surtain play? I mean, obviously, Micah Parsons is going to be starting from day one. That's what the expectations are. Will Pat Surtain get enough opportunities? You know, at the middle linebacker spot, you get a lot of tackles. So if you get, you know, 120 tackles, you know, you're flying around everywhere. Cornerback spot, you might not get a ball thrown at you for 3-4 weeks. Who knows? So the only way that you can win it at the cornerback spot is by doing what? Intercepting passes. Will he get enough opportunities to do that? But certainly if he goes out there and, you know, his rookie year somehow, some way gets 6 picks, he's got an opportunity, but that's a hard thing to do. So I think the cornerback position is probably more difficult to transition to in the NFL right away. And when you compare it to the linebacker position, it's probably more difficult to win this type of award.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't say anything about, you know, George Payton should have taken, you know, Micah Parsons over Pat Surtain. That didn't say that at all. We'll look back at this thing in 3 years and take the whole evaluation when we're evaluating this, the whole thing. But not just year one.
Right.
Okay. And right now, also, Pat Surtain's going to have a more difficult time getting on the football field early.
Yeah,
so
clearly,
we're going to have to wait, you know, probably 3 years before we can say, Micah Parsons or Pat Surtain.
Right.
And also throw the quarterbacks in there also. You know, Pat Surtain or Fields or Matt Jones. I mean,
right.
So this is a 3-year thing to kind of evaluate before you can say George Payton did good or bad.
Right. Okay. Well, Parsons is the odds-on favorite to win.
Where's Pat?
Rookie of the Year, followed by Quiddy Pay.
Michigan?
From Michigan, who is
now part of
the Indianapolis Colts,
If
I'm not mistaken. You get to, so Quiddy Pay is 12-1. So the difference between Micah Parsons at 4-1.
Big favorite.
Big favorite. Big time favorite. 3 times more likely than just number two, who's at 12-1.
Good math there by you. Wow.
Quiddy Pay, look at me. Jalen Phillips. All right, Miami.
Yes, rusher.
Yes, who ended up in Miami with the Dolphins.
From Miami
to Miami. Shout out to Dade County and Ricky Rose.
Oh, Ricky Ross.
You get to...
what is it, the 305?
Look at you.
305 in my city. Let's come back with some of that.
I would love that.
Oh, I love it. That reminds me of 2000 and, like, songs like that remind me of years, you know, because that's like sometimes that's an anthem of the year,
sure.
Like, especially in the locker room.
Sure.
And so that was more like, you know, reminds me of 2013, like Terrell Suggs. Like you say, that's Terrell Suggs.
Yeah.
You know, that's so funny.
Numbers don't lie to my baby.
There you go.
Go get you some lobster and shrimp.
Yes, we're coming back with it. I did it, I did
it. Then you get to Jamin Davis there with Washington, the Washington football team. And then finally at 14-1, you get to Patrick Surtain, Zaven Collins, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and then J.C. Horn are all, according to Superbook, all at 14-1. So 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth slotting there with four other guys.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to win it because of the position that he plays and the people in front of him, which is fine. You know, like I've been trying to tell James, been trying to tell Marillette that you don't draft for year one, you know. You don't draft for this year. You're drafting for the future of your organization, right? You can't ever have enough good football players, and that's what you're trying to do. Draft good football players. They might not play, you know, week one. They might not play a whole lot week six, but eventually they will play and they will make an impact if that's your philosophy. So, you know, a guy like, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, none of our draft picks might not even start this year. That's okay. They're right. Our first two picks will play a lot. If they're healthy, they will play a lot. And Pat Surtain and Javonte Williams. They might not start, but you don't have to just be a starter to help your football team win.
Right.
But they probably will both be starters and frontline guys going into year two.
Speaking of depth charts.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You don't want to over-obsess about year one.
Right.
And especially we're in the position that the Broncos are in.
You're kind of starting to go down that road a little bit, though, too.
With what?
Like, you know, like, hey, none of these guys are going to start in year one.
But that was a testament to the roster. That was like, hey, this roster's got such a long way to go. You got to build the roster. Well, you had a whole draft and not one rookie's going to play. Your roster's pretty good.
There you go. Yeah.
That's all.
Yes. James was looking at it differently. It was James. Let's just blame James. James had the bad take.
Typically works.
Yep.
When you look at the depth chart, man, we were talking about the corners, right? So you got Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller as your two starters, right? Then you got your nickel guy. That's probably going to be Bryce Callahan. Paying $6.5 million to do something.
Yeah.
So that's and then you get to Pat Surtain. But then, like, you get to the back end, the third string, Michael Ojemudia.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
Well, I mean, where do you want him? I mean, that's the only place he could be with all that in front of him. I mean, he obviously could have taken better advantage of his opportunity last year, but I thought he did fine as a rookie third-round draft pick. But, look, they're trying to upgrade the depth there, and then on top of that, they drafted someone. So, you know, I'm not giving up on this guy yet. How much will he play this year? Probably not a whole lot, but let's project into the following year.
Well, I just wonder if the Broncos gave up on him.
That's a great question.
When they decided to go outside the organization, pay two guys in Fuller and Darby, and then keep Bryce Callahan, we thought that he could have been cut, playing 10 games in 2 years, still paying him $6.5 million slated for this season. And then you go draft a guy at 9. It's like, Ojemudia.
It
was all good just a week ago.
Yeah.
The guy was picked 77th.
He's got to earn it. He's got to earn the trust back, and he's got to continue to develop and get better. And if he has a great camp, that might be the signal to move on from Callahan this year.
Interesting.
If he has a great camp.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no more, like, free passes. That's how quick the NFL moves. You know, you were the golden child last year. Third round pick, but they were just starting you from day one.
Right.
At training camp.
Right.
Like, and then he got hurt, and then like, but they still were going to start him. Now all of a sudden, a year later, times have changed, right? He can't even get a peek. Like, hey, I'm still here. They're like, hey, we moved on. Yeah, you know, here's some scraps.
Crazy.
You take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I mean, welcome to the NFL.
Wow.
It's not easy. A guy like that, you know, can get lost in the shuffle and be done after, you know, a few years. So he's got to earn the coach's trust again. And got whatever opportunities he gets, he's got to take advantage of it, like in a big way.
You're not kidding. And I'm not going to try to misrepresent Michael Ojemudia's rookie season because it wasn't great.
No, it wasn't great.
But it also wasn't all bad.
No.
You know how many fumbles he forced?
Four.
Four forced fumbles as a rookie. How often does that happen in the National Football League?
Not a lot. He was a good football player. good football player. Fumbles. Needed to work on some things, but he could have had a few interceptions that just kind of went right through his hands.
Yeah.
And I don't know behind the scenes, you know, what it looked like. We don't know quite that work ethic, all those things. But I thought the big picture, I'm with you. He's a third round cornerback. Of course, there was going to be some low points, but there was a lot of positives there to build off of. You know, unfortunately for him, they kind of moved on this year without him in mind.
Really interesting. We'll continue to track his Bronco experience here over the coming weeks as we lead up to week one against the New York Giants. All right, NFL.com. Oh, talk about a segment you don't want to miss here. NFL.com ranked all 32 teams by just their wide receiver room.
Oh.
And you have got to hear where they had the Broncos.
I like it.
Details next.
Drop down, drop, drop. It's Training Camp 50-50. Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Yeah.
Get.
NFL.com.
I get it, I get it.
Yes,
love
you do.
That.
Your hustle don't ever go unnoticed, baby. I wish you, I'm with it.
Oh, so good.
I get it, I get it.
NFL.com ranked all 32 teams by just their wide receiver room. And you've got to hear where they have the Broncos.
Okay. I'd like to guess at some point.
Sure.
You know, but before you, if you got something else to say, go for it. But I'd like to take a wild guess at where the Broncos wide receiver room would rank.
Well, this is, we've cited her before. It's Cynthia Freeland of NFL.com who, you know, has these game theory series.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
Toughest schedule. We have an algorithm for this. It's all, you know, there's all some sort of science behind it.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
So it's Cynthia Freeland. Game theory series ranked every wide receiver room. Where do you think the Broncos would rank?
I'm just kind of looking and, you know, I look at a team like the Bills and, you know, this first team that comes up there, they're probably ranked higher than the Broncos. Dolphins, it's going to be close, you know, with, Waddle and Devontae Parker and a couple other guys over there. So, you know, the Cowboys are going to be ahead of them. So I think on first glance, you say, oh, the Broncos are going to be very high. They're going to be really high. Top five for sure. I think from top to bottom, they still have to go out there and do it and prove it, right? And Sutton's coming back from the injury. So a lot of question marks there with the fly ball center. Carrera can't go to third. A lot of question marks still with the Broncos wide receiver group. I think, you know, you have the potential to have two number ones, but still unknowns there with Sutton. Do you like their depth? Yeah, but the big question mark is Sutton. What will he look like coming back from the ACL? Saying all that, Zach, I mean, I would honestly probably put their wide receiver group right now at about middle of the pack, 16.
Hmm.
Don't know if that's high or low compared to her list, but that's kind of how I look at it right now. I mean, they're still in improvement mode. I mean, Judy didn't have 1,000 yards last year. And we're just talking receivers.
Not.
We're not throwing tight end in there, just receivers.
It's just wide receivers.
Yeah. Hamler didn't have a great year, so.
And those guys were both 1 and 2 in drop rate, you know, to be fair. So about 16?
Yeah, I'm gonna put them at 16. Is that close?
No. Try again.
Ooh. So that means that they're worse.
Yes.
Wow. You're giving me a look like, I mean, are they like 24?
Close.
Wow.
The Broncos receiving core is ranked 22nd on NFL.com. 22nd.
22nd.
In a league of 32.
And that's fair. I'm not going to give Cynthia any pushback like, oh, how dare you? You know, like, oh my goodness, you're so wrong. I think that's fair. I really do because of what I just said. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns here.
Yeah.
Judy's never gone over 1,000. Hamler hasn't done anything. He's still, both those are young football players. Sudden injury. Tim Patrick was really good last year.
But not like 1,000-yard good.
Right, but not like 1,000-yard good, right? I mean, the expectations were low around here when it came to throwing the football.
Yeah.
So they have to go out there and prove it before their rank moves up, and that's totally fair. And I think they you know, if you told them that, they'd probably say, what, we should be ranked higher? But you got, and they'd also agree that, okay, we got to go out there and do it. You got to do it on the football field, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's not about expectations and potential. You got to actually do it, and they haven't done it as a group yet.
They have not. The forecast looks sunny, right? But it looks sunny
right.
A year ago.
I like that. Forecast looks sunny. That's good. Yes, you're exactly right.
I mean, we went into last season like, oh, my gosh. You got Sutton. You got Judy. You got Hambler. Like, what? This is going to be, you know, I threw out the nickname for them, the Orange and Blue Angels.
Wow. Forgot about that.
Remember that was after the draft.
Well, we also said, I know I wasn't, you know, like, going too nuts. I mean, those they were still rookies.
I mean, you love the picks, though.
I do love the picks.
You want to take a wide receiver in the third round, too.
There we go. I knew it.
You
I
did.
Knew it. I know. Yeah, and the four. I wanted to go all wide receivers like the Angels went all pitchers in the baseball
right.
draft. I wanted John to go all wide receivers. Yes, Zach, I did.
Right.
Thank you for refreshing my memory on that. I totally forgot.
Tell something, man.
So, see what's happening in this baseball game. 2-2. 4-1. Man on second. Astros won it. I also said those guys are rookies. Like, let's taper our expectations here if they don't perform, you know, really, really well or have great years. So all rookies, we got to give time. I mean, it's still a transition. Some of them pop right away. Some of them, you know, take a year or so before they pop, and that doesn't mean that – it's a good pick or not.
The Astros are just pouring it on the Rockies right now.
Well, yeah, Bearcat. Well, yeah, Bearcat. Oh, man, it's going to make my night. Just keep it up.
It's 5-1 now.
Oh, man. Hey. Might buy me another elephant tonight. Give me another elephant. Oh man. But that's the thing. You know, last year, yes, we were hoping that they were going to have a special group, but you're talking about really, you know, those two rookies were counting on a lot, and that's not ideal. So, but expectations are now that this group next year at this time, we should be talking about hopefully a top 10 group. Now's the time to start doing this thing, all right?
That should be the goal,
Hammer,
right?
I'm expecting better things from him, more consistent things. Judy, 1,000 yards, you know, minimum. Sutton, I'm not sure. That's my one hang up. I'm concerned with Courtland Sutton. Do you share the concerns that I have also?
Well, you know what? Less and less here since the initial concern was flagged.
Well, you were the one initially concerning it and pushing the panic button.
I wasn't pushing the panic button.
Yes, you were.
I was not pushing the panic
button.
Four
times in a row, like 4 days in a row, like, Stokely, watch Sutton.
No,
Stokely, watch Sutton.
No, wait, because...
He looked so, like...
Well, he looked like he was not 100%.
Yes, no, you're right.
He looked like he was
right.
In sand, kind of plodding, not a lot of separation. You know, Sutton's unique, though, because he can still win with his body and his size.
He's a bigger guy, long arms.
And since then... we've seen Sutton make plays.
Yes.
And on Sunday's practice that was closed, Drew Locke threw a ball, Stoke, that was between 65 and 70 yards in the air to Courtland Sutton over the top. And if you missed it, you can go back on the Broncos Twitter account.
Oh, it's on there.
They posted it Sunday's practice. So you got to go back in the timeline a little bit through the Hall of Fame stuff.
Okay.
But if you want to see that, Drew Locke, I mean, when we talk about Drew Locke having the most raw talent of any quarterback since Peyton Manning here, kind of look at that play and encompasses that thought. But it was Sutton down the field. I mean, it was a full take the top off type play. I'm not saying, hey, that box is checked because Sutton made a play in practice. We still got to see it. But seeing him continue to make plays, one-handed grab, like my antennas are still up because Courtland Sutton hasn't taken a hit yet. Okay, so the flags are – my antennas are still up. But seeing him make some plays has sort of suppressed some of that.
And he still hasn't done it a lot. They're still limiting him with his reps, right?
Correct.
I mean, up until the last practice that I saw, he's still limited in practice, which is okay. That's fine. But, man, when I see him out there, I want to see a little bit more explosiveness. Right? That's the concern. And you have to have that as a wide receiver. You have to be able to get off the line of scrimmage. You got to have some fast twitch stuff. You know, you can't just always count on just having that big body. So it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like moving forward and over these next couple weeks, because right now it's not a situation where I can say, okay, yeah, I feel comfortable with Courtland Sutton playing 65 snaps game one. At some point, you got to take the training wheels off if you want that to happen. You follow me?
Yeah,
and you can't be practicing, you know, half practices and limited reps, and then all of a sudden, let's go, you know, take the training wheels off and play 70 plays. That can't happen. So it's going to be interesting to see how they manage his workload moving forward. At a certain point, you got to say, hey, it's go time. And if not, then it's going to be Temi Patch, which is fine, obviously. But it's going to be interesting to see when that happens.
Right. All right. If there's one guy in this entire conversation that I'm just like the most confident about, it's Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy feels like he is
the safest bet.
The safest bet. Just straight blue chipper. Like, yeah. That's what it feels like.
Now there's going to be the man right there. That's blue chipper right there.
Blue chipper.
There's going to be the man right there.
What wrestling announcer was that?
That was Jim Ross. Yes. The first time The Rock ever appeared on television. 1996 said, that's going to be the man right there. Blue chipper right there. First time we saw The Rock.
Wow.
Prophetic
great
words.
Call.
Oh, that'll make your hair stand up right on your arm.
I don't know
man.
About all that.
First time you saw The Rock.
Yeah.
All right. We have updates from practice.
Oh, practice update.
Yes. We're talking
Let's
about
go.
Practice.
We're talking about practice, Brandon McManus.
we'll do it next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Updates out at practice.
Talking about practice.
Talking about practice. Not the game. Not the game that I go out there and die for. Talking about practice. All right.
What's going on at practice? I'm trying to keep, I'm trying to look at some updates here.
Yeah.
What are you seeing?
So I got Troy Rank's a Twitter pulled up. All right. He said, he's got a video with Jeudy putting the defender on skates, all right, in one-on-ones. He's got a video of Patrick Surtain doing a great job in coverage of one-on-ones. I mean, great.
Just watched it right now. Off a route by the receiver.
Yeah?
Yeah, who's the receiver he's going up against?
I don't know. His jersey's all rolled up, so I can't see his number. Looks like maybe 15.
He needed to sell it more.
Okay.
But great coverage by Surtain. Great coverage. Double move and 101 are not easy for DBs.
Sure.
101 is stacked against you as a DB.
Of course.
Okay.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of space and you're 1-on-1 with a wide receiver. So it's very difficult, and A+ on that, and knocked it down and just like poop. Nah.
Not today.
Great play. Great play.
Troy said in 11s. Teddy has not thrown an incompletion. He connected with Hamler, Beck, and Hinton. Ball to Hinton nearly picked, and he won battle for tipped pass. Locke, not as accurate. Had perfect slant to Jeudy. Had ball nearly intercepted. And problems with snaps for both quarterbacks.
Oh, not this again.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
That was 2 years ago with Connor McGovern.
Correct.
Like he had the yips.
Yeah, that thing was spraying.
Yeah. It was like one-a-days, vitamins.
Yeah.
Multivitamins. Right? I mean, that's what it was.
You're using that a little bit too much.
Oh, I am?
You know, that I got the intellectual, you know, license on that one.
Oh, have I been using it too much?
Just a little bit.
When else did I use it?
Just a little bit.
Okay. Well, no, call me out then. That's your property?
That is my intellectual property.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess if I use it, I'll pay for it.
It's flattering.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but I got to give credit or pay, you know. If that's yours, I don't want to just take it because sometimes that just happens. You know, naturally it comes into your brain because, you know, you say it a lot or whatever, and it's a good saying, obviously. If I'm going to use it, you got to feel proud that it's a good saying.
That's right.
Right?
But so, at the end of the day, it's like one of your apes.
Right.
Like, you own that thing.
Right, yeah, yeah. So just tread lightly here, Stokely. I got you.
The blockchain says it's mine.
Right, yes. You own that. Okay. That's, look, that's fair. Just keep me in check. I'm all about being in check because I'm going to keep you in check, right? You're not going to take my ape or my elephants or my dog.
That's right.
All right. Without my permission. So I will, you know, if I start using it too much, I'll just like have to pay a dollar every time I use it or something.
Troy says, from my vantage point, Calvin Anderson starting at right tackle.
Wow.
Okay.
That would be a big upset.
It's a real thing. Yeah.
And I, you know, when you talk about offensive line, like I don't, I can watch it and feel good about what you watch, right? Like, is a guy getting beat or not?
Yeah.
But overall, you know, you like to lean on Palumbus and Slayer for that stuff. So that's always good to get their perspective because they know how the pass sets are supposed to look, you know, when they're sliding back, kick step back and staying square to the line of scrimmage and all those things when they punch, when they don't.
Step in the bucket.
Yeah. So all that, all that stuff is, you know, above my head. I'm more athletes, you know, passing game, fun stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. You know, I think it would be an upset if Calvin Anderson ended up being the starter, but they got options. They got options, which is a good thing. And, like this type of work against these guys would go a long way to, you know, we're talking about quarterback, but deciding that right tackle spot also.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Certainly.
Troy goes on. This is in the last half hour. Locke finished 2-minute drill to set up a field goal. He completed a short pass to Hamler. Then Sutton had a drop. Might have been a tick behind him, but the ball was catchable.
Okay.
Couple more from Troy. Let's see here. He said Locke just took a sack in 7-on-7, or it was the greatest example of scrambling ever against against invisible pressure. Your choice.
Say that one more time, please.
Said Locke just took a sack in 7-on-7, or it was the greatest example of scrambling ever against invisible pressure. Your choice. So kind of being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Again, 7-on-7. It feels like one of those happens a day. 7-on-7.
Kind of like
the offense.
Kind of like
a vitamin.
Your multivitamins.
One a day.
Right, the one a days.
It does feel like that. That's sometimes you get that play blown dead once a day in 7-on-7 with Drew.
Yep. And you know, that's not ideal in 7-on-7. 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, boom. Probably just throw the football away. Just showing that you got the clock in your head, right? And you're able to operate in the pocket. You can't always escape it. I don't mind trying to escape the pockets because that's part of football. A lot of players, you know, extend plays and make plays off schedule. And that's a big part of, you know, winning and losing. But you have to operate in pocket. And I think for Drew Locke, that's what we need to see more of, operating in pocket, understanding clock in your head, right? When does that clock go off? And then when it does, just throw it away. Just get rid of it, throw it away. Don't always try to extend plays by getting out of the pocket because that's been a negative for him. That's something that he needed to work on.
After the tweet where Troy said Locke took the sack in 7-on-7, he followed it up with Teddy with 2 touchdowns right up the gut to Hamler and KJ, who I believe are both the same guy. Right? He said Teddy with 2 TDs right up gut to Hamler and KJ. Okay. He follows up with Seth Williams with terrific high point catch for touchdown from Brett Rippon, but draws a taunting foul. You know, they're cranking up the taunting fouls. Did you hear that?
No.
They sent a video to every team.
I didn't hear that.
They are cracking down big time. And the video that got put out there that got leaked to social media was like, you know, a lot of stuff that you just see on Sundays is going to be called taunting. So tread lightly, early in the year.
That's a good point, you know, and that's talked about then. You know, point of emphasis, Vic has brought it up. They have usually referees come in and talk to you about the changes. What's the point of emphasis? And it's good. It's good for Seth Williams to be flagged for it. You know, it's just practice, but they got refs out there.
Yep.
And it's good for him to be flagged for that because that's a great teaching moment for Vic, not only to Seth, but the whole crew.
Right.
Like, we can't have this happen.
Right.
Broncos, you're not good enough to shoot yourself in the foot and have bad penalties. And those are bad penalties. Those are self-inflicted penalties. Can't have it. Right? You just can't do those things if you're the Denver Broncos and overcome them. Got to be more disciplined than that. So it's good that it happened, though.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Do you remember Emmanuel got a taunting penalty? Gosh, who was this against? Richie, open up your thinking cap here, too. Emmanuel Sanders, it was like the 2018 season. I want to say it was like it was a close game where he maybe pointed in the guy's face and they took the touchdown off the board, I think.
Man, this is going down a bad rabbit hole here.
Okay, sorry.
You're probably mixing like five things together. You're going to have to clean so much house tomorrow to start the show. We're not going to be able to talk the first segment. Just let it go.
It was against the Rams. Yes. Yeah, I think it cost them a touchdown against the Rams. Was it the 2018 season? Yeah, 2018 season. He called the NFL soft, and the Broncos lost by a kick, 23-20. And that was the day that Todd Gurley ran for 208 yards and two touchdowns.
Back-to-back 200-yard games.
That's
Broncos
right.
Gave up.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was, and who was the other one? It was
Jets.
Yes. Great call. New York Jets. It was two of them. It was Isaiah Crowell. Yes, went for 219 yards, and the secondary rusher, Bilal Powell, went for 99 of his own.
Oh, he didn't. Yeah, that was quite the day on the ground.
Yeah, they say it was like the first 2 week stretch that a defense had given up like however many yards it was. All right.
So it sounds like almost Teddy's probably winning the day today.
That's
from
what
reports.
It sounds
but
like.
We'll get the report from our guy, Nate Jackson, tomorrow, which will be interesting to see. The day isn't over yet over there, so we'll see what all it right. looks like.
We'll call that a day. Stoke, enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Well, if this keeps up, I will be enjoying.
Astros
popping
up in a big way right now. Late stages of their game against the Rockies, up 5-1. Astros have a man on. And Bud Black looks like he has a kidney stone.
Yes, looking like Vic.
Looking like Vic. With the bloody nose that one Sunday. All right. Richie, have a great rest of your afternoon with your second favorite show, The Drive, coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.